Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited, hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you and your family are safe during the second wave of pandemic. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nair, Group Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vikas Agarwal, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya Middle East, and Mr. Saurabh Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remarks, and then we would have a question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to the conference call on our company's behalf. Let me begin the conference call with a very short update on fourth quarter performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in public domain and uploaded on our website, www.kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operation of rupees 89.2 crores for the quarter ended 31st March 2021, a growth of 2% over corresponding quarter ended 31st March 2020. Consolidated EBITDA is rupees 19.1 crore in Q4 financial 2021 as compared to 10.9 crores in Q4 financial 2020. 73 clinics in India and 23 clinics in GCC region were operational and open for customer with high safety protocol during Q4 financial 2021. 50% of our clinic staff has been inoculated with the first dose of COVID-19 vaccine in both region. Collection in India on SSG basis grew at 14% in Q4 financial 2021 as compared to previous year. Sequential growth of 14% of previous quarter. Collection at clinic in Middle East region grew by 12% at constant currency in Q4 financial 2021 as compared to Q4 financial 2020. In India, like-to-like customer count in Q4 2021 was around 95% of last year, and ticket size grew by 33% in Q4 financial 2021 as compared to Q4 financial 2020. In Middle East, customer count in Q4 financial 2021 was at 101% of last year, and ticket size grew by 12% in Q4 financial 2021 as compared to Q4 financial 2020. Business in India, SSG has seen rebound in segments like hair, which grew by 49%, anti-aging, which grew by 26%, and beauty facial grew by 22%, and acne grew by 40% as compared to Q4 financial 2020. Middle East segments like seen a rebound in like skin concern, which grew by 11%, anti-aging grew by 14%, body solution grew by 97%, and hair care grew by 4% over Q4 financial 2020. E-commerce business in Q4 2021 grew by 29% over Q4 financial 2020. Kaya India profit after tax for the Q4 financial 2021 is INR 1.2 crore as compared to loss of INR 6.2 crore in Q4 financial 2020. Consolidated loss after tax for Q4 financial 2021 is rupees 1.1 crore as compared to loss of rupees 15 crore in Q4 financial 2020. Kaya has entered an exclusive arrangement with Jobs.fit in the skin and hair service space, and the same are now available on Jobs.fit app in Bangalore, Hyderabad, and Chennai. The company plans to scale up this partnership pan-India in coming quarters. Kaya India is in process of revamping its digital assets, including D2C website and applications. Focus on both market was on safety for employees and clients while opening the clinics during COVID-19. The business had adopted the highest of COVID-19 compliance standards in both the market in line with the WHO guideline. The beauty, wellness, and personal care retail industry has been adversely impacted by various factors, including the spread of COVID-19. This unprecedented disruption had an adverse impact on performance during the year, and continues to impact the business. In this crisis, our priorities are to protect the employees and the families from COVID-19. Besides our customer visiting our clinics and society associated with it, we do not anticipate material risk to business prospects over the medium to long term. The group has evaluated impact on its business operations and financial position based on its review of current indicators of future economic condition. Management has created various pillars in response to COVID-19 for business, such as business continuity, management cost and cash flow, omni-channel e-commerce, accelerating technology, transforming workplace and talent, and safety measure. The detailed information update is already with you. I now open the sessions for questions and my colleagues, and I will be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chirag from Adinath. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have a couple of questions asking that, what is strategy we put in place to transforming our business from service-oriented business model to product-oriented business model?
Okay. Should I answer that?
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, hi. This is Rajiv. Should I answer that or you want to ask another follow-up question?
No, I will ask later on.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, even in my previous call, the intention is to increase the contribution of product business, and we do believe, in comparison to pre-COVID period, where physical retail, GTMT was an important channel, we have focused a lot more on digital channels, and we are, increasing our inputs on e-commerce. Till now, only with partner retailers like Amazon and Nykaa on the e-commerce channel. But very soon, we'll also be introducing a completely revamped digital website of Kaya, which will be our D2C website, which will have a lot of information about our products, product usage, services as well. And that will become one of our core areas to distribute our products. And through that website, we can reach out to a large part of our countries, including smaller cities and towns. So in the next quarter, we will be launching the D2C website. Currently, work is under progress. And we will continue our partnership with people like Amazon, Nykaa, Myntra, Flipkart, etc. We have also recently listed, or in fact, in the matter of next 1 week, you will see our products getting listed on sites like YourFit, where also we do believe there is synergistic partnership. And we will be selling products on the CureFit platform as well. So one is our own D2C website, our own clinics. At the same time, a lot of partnership in the digital space. That's okay. How we believe we can revamp products.
Okay. My second question, to increase the footfall for our product in general and modern trade, do we have a physical tie-up with other than renowned stores, and what strategy going forward to increase the tie-up and association with distributors in general trade and modern trade category?
Yeah, currently I think we have given a pause to the GTMT business because of the COVID scenario around us. We did have distributors in all the major cities. We are currently given a pause because their secondaries to retailers have reduced over the last 6 months because of the pandemic and a lot of retailers getting into financial trouble. And that's the reason, and also a lot of returns coming back during this period into the business, which makes the model a little unviable. But we are only giving it a pause right now. The minute market opens up and we do believe there is better uptick in GTMT channels, we will revive that business opportunity. We have distributors in all the major cities of India as of now, but we are currently putting a pause on that channel.
Okay. And any strategic joint venture or any such plan going forward to
little early, couple of considerations, but I would maybe announce that to you as and when it's 55. At this stage, I don't want to announce it. We do have some distribution opportunities coming, but only when they are done, I will be able to get back to you on.
Okay. All the best. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just like, I want to know the debt position and the cash position.
Yeah, Saurabh?
Yeah. The debt position from external bank in Middle East is around 14.62. And there is a loan from promoter, which is around 24.69. Cash position is India is around 13 crore and Middle East around 10.5 crore.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Somesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Somesh Kumar, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with a question.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, this is Somesh Kumar. Sir, I have two questions. One is that any plans to get into teleconsultations? And second is, any new procedures to be introduced in the clinics?
Yes. Yes. So a couple of things. One is on web consultation. We are, on web consultation, we have actually started, work with a lot of partners during the pandemic in the last year when we had a closure of clinics. And actually, our doctors were not in the clinics. We did more than 6,000 consults with companies like Mfine in the last 6 months. And all our doctors reached out to almost 200 different cities. We have about 85 doctors in India. They reached out to about 200 cities through the web consultation route. We are building the capability of web consultation on our direct-to-consumer website. And that will be ready by the end of first quarter, early next quarter. So I would say July, we will have it ready. And that will give us capability to directly consult customers from the clinic to anywhere in the country. So that will be something that we'll be offering as a service. That will be the first line of consultation. If a customer really wants a detailed consultation, we would invite them over to respective clinics if they are physically located closer to the clinics. And that will be something that we will promote. So web consultation for sure will be an important part of our consultation. What are the other question you had? Sorry, second one.
So the other question was that is there any new procedure to be introduced in the clinic?
Yes. So both in India and Middle East, we have a lot of focus on innovation. So for example, in the case of anti-aging, we have come up with machines which are called high-frequency ultrasound, HIFU. These machines have been already introduced in about 5 clinics, which are actually supposed to be high-end anti-aging treatments for skin tightening. We have also come up with a new MediFacial because people are not preferring today's day physical contact facial, so machine-based facial, which is called as Oxygenio. It's a Korean machine that we have brought in. We've also come up with high-end injectables, a brand called Profilo, which is at the premium end of injectables for consumers, which again is for anti-aging purposes. We are also training a lot of our doctors in using threads. Threads are usually skin tightening procedures, very popular in the Far East, which some of our leading doctors, our head of medical, for example, is an expert at threads, and that's something that we are promoting across all our doctors in the country and training all of them on the same. So as far as services are concerned, these are the main services. In addition, we are changing our protocols and pricing for our acne services to make it more affordable, accessible to customers. Because during the pandemic, we have also seen that a lot of people are coming with acne concerns into the business. Maybe because of mask wearing habits is something that we are trying to address, but at a much lower cost than what we were doing in the past. In the Middle East as well, we have new services. We have been doing plastic surgery fairly successfully in the clinics in the last 1 year. We have body contouring services which are being done, which is again, skin toning, skin tightening services. So that's another area that we are working on in the Middle East. And I would actually ask Vikas to maybe add on to, specifics on that area. So over to you, Vikas.
Yes. Thanks, Raji. So like you said, in Middle East, our focus of innovation is basically into three areas of hair, on body, on plastic surgery. So we launched plastic surgery around a year and a half back. We made quite a headway last year. So that is one big innovation that we've done, or addition that we've done. Body is something, again, we're going very big. We have body services now in almost 78 clinics already. And these are machines, to name a few, CoolSculpt, Venus, which are actually very proven FDA-approved machines with the latest of innovation or the models that are coming, which we have. Therein, our focus is not just machine forward. We combine those machines to get the best solution. Also, our focus is not
based on... त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईन.
Sorry, there is... Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So our focus is more on contouring, which is fat reduction, toning, drainage, rather than just straight away weight loss. So that is one big area. And then in quarter four, we launched a series of hair services, services like a hair filler and Botox. Again, this is something very new in that world. We launched a new service called A10. We've launched DNA hair therapy, which is again for hair as well as a DNA repair therapy for skin. We've also launched one very advanced thread called Across Thread, which is the latest thread across the world in US and Europe. So those are the focus areas for us on innovation. But every quarter we have a series of new launches that keep coming in. That is how the category is. We have to be ahead of the category in that. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Alimchandani from KFRS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good to have you again, Saurabh. A few, on a continuous ongoing basis over several con calls and over meets also, it was articulated that the Kaya would be transformed into a digital physical healthcare company with multiple verticals and engagements with consumers and patients. Now, how is the transformation taking place? This year there has been a major boost of transformation into digital well-being, and apparently from the numbers it is not visible, although a few offhand remarks we are hearing about the websites setting up and, over multiple locations from clinics. What about from homes? And what is the transformation? Is there a change? Are we on the accelerator mode? If we can have much more information on that, on your presentation and also in today's meeting, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can answer.
Very good question. And I completely agree with you that digital is the way forward. We have taken some steps in the form of our e-commerce business over the last few years in terms of digital. Only thing extending from there is to set up a very strong website for Kaya, which will come up very soon. And that will cater to e-commerce requirements of sale of products, but also will be a very strong play for us in terms of expanding our services portfolio, because it will also enable customers to book services online, purchase online, and book appointments online, which we are today not doing. A lot of our processes are very manual based on calling to customers. It will all get replaced with this. We are also going to automate a lot of customer communication in the form of chatbots and other tools, which will make interaction with Kaya possible even when the clinics are shut down in the evenings. So that's something that we're doing. Web consultation is the other area that we will be launching as part of our D2C website. So that's the third area. Fourth is collaboration. So companies like CureFit, which are in the internet-first world, we are going to collaborate with people like that. And first partnership is with CureFit, which has got presence pan-India, where they will actually be selling our services online on their platform, which will also make Kaya digitally forward in that sense. To top all of this, we are also building a separate vertical within our business with a business head brought in place who will be looking after all our digital initiatives. So even from a structure perspective, we are changing the organization. Otherwise, in the past, the operational team and the marketing team would be looking at these digital innovations. Now we'll have a separate member responsible for digital initiatives in the business. So that's something that we are trying to do. We have already launched CureFit in Bangalore, and 5% of our business in Bangalore has already moved to CureFit. And Hyderabad and Chennai have also been launched. As soon as our current shutdowns are closed, I mean, in the sense clinics start again, Delhi and Mumbai will also be, you know, the services of Kaya will be available on CureFit platform there as well. So that's another example of collaboration that we're doing. So that's all in all, I think the contour of where digital is actually moving. But I would say I agree with you that the pace at which a lot of initiatives can be taken in digital in India, we are also cognizant of it, and you will see certain things unfold over the next few quarters.
Good. Saurabh, I'll have a follow-up question. Do we have the, normally we used to have the global CEO as well as the domestic and overseas CEO in the calls. Do we have that?
So Rajiv is our global CEO, and Vikas Agarwal is our Middle East CEO.
Rajiv, you are there in the call?
I am there.
I didn't get your name. Achha, good to have you. Now, another follow-up question. Talking about this digital transformation, both digital, physical, and patients and consumers. See, this needs, now Saurabh mentioned about a digital senior level officer. This needs a significant investment. And from apparently from the numbers we see, why there is hesitation in making investment? This would need investments of, you know, 50, 100, 200 crores is nothing, because ultimately we can get huge market share. And it's a huge, huge market, and we have been the front runners in this business with so many years of experience in consumer engagement. And it's not only accelerator mode, we have to invest to get the reap the benefits, and international companies are reaping the benefits. Lots of Indian companies are on the fast forward mode in digital. So is there any hesitation in investment because of some fear or if you can highlight? And another thing is that digital team, what is the size of the digital team? We need to have not only a senior digital person, we need to have a significant size of digital team to capture the opportunities available. And apparently any market survey, you look at it, there are huge, unlimited practically opportunities in the space we have been addressing, and also multiple verticals coming up because of that consumer and patient engagement experience we have got.
Yeah, I think feedback noted. I don't think there is any hesitation. The quantum of investment I will not be able to talk about right now. But I think the path towards digital transformation is something that has been accepted, agreed, and even at the board level discussed over the last, you know, few meetings that we've been doing. And the reason to bring on board a digital head is to build a structure for digital forward businesses. which would be with Kaya, inside Kaya clinics, online with Kaya, or through collaboration. That's something that we would be setting in place. I mean, the detail, the contours of all of that, I'll be able to discuss with you over the next few calls. But at this stage, we have set in motion a change in structure that will make, you know, make the initiatives start in the business.
Good. I wish you and the team all the best. And I suggest you add a few more slides on digital transformation in the presentation you are sharing on them.
Absolutely agree. And I'm with you on that completely.
Fine. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Sheikh from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Hope all well with all of y'all.
All good. All good, Rishit.
All good, Rishit.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, just a couple of questions. First question is basically on the digital side, just following up on the previous speaker's question. I think we discussed this maybe a year or a couple of years back also. There is a company in US called Ulta, U-L-T-A, Beauty, which has basically a multi-brand kind of a platform. So when we talk about our website, as you said, that initially we'll be starting with, you know, Kaya products, which can be sold through our website or through our clinic. So are we looking at a multi-product kind of a website on this digital side?
Not really, Aishit. At this stage, I think, you know, the D2C opportunity does exist in India, while D2C may have matured a bit in the Western markets. And in some cases, the D2C is probably coming down a bit in those markets. We are actually trying to build a website which will be quite user-friendly and use some bits of technology like artificial intelligence, where people can assess their skin, understand their skin concerns and make informed decisions to buy services and products through the website. So that's something that we're currently working on. At this stage, it's supposed to be completely completely Kaya own brand website and not supposed to be a multi-branded website. Whenever if in future opportunity presents, then we will definitely do some exclusive partnerships. But at this stage, we are currently looking at it as purely a Kaya.com website.
Sure. But don't you think it will drive a lot of customer traffic if we have a multiple brand kind of a website?
Possible, but then there are so many horizontal, vertical players that are there in the market in the e-commerce space. It may not create huge differentiation unless the brands that you're talking about are completely exclusive with us. There is a possibility at certain premium levels of brands, for example, in Western markets or in Far East, there are brands which are willing to work with us on an exclusive basis. For example, in the Middle East market, we are buying some products which are being sold in our clinic, which are super premium. Now, in those spaces, you will have some players which are slightly smaller in the Western market, but want to partner with you exclusively. But at this stage, premature for me to, you know, give you any insights on whether we can do those partnerships or whether we will. I'm just taking a point on board. I heard you before also on this subject. But at this stage, we are looking at Kaya.com as purely Kaya.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Thanks a lot. The second question I wanted to ask is, how are we positioned for this round of lockdown? Like, I understand that, you know, we navigated last lockdown. How are things placed both in India and Middle East? A little brief on, how many stores are operational, how are we seeing trends shaping up?
Sure. So, Ishit, I think this time there is more awareness of what is likely to happen in comparison to last year, because last year we were not very sure how a lockdown happens and how it opens. And how governments allow things to open up slowly. We do believe governments over the next few months will keep starting to open up progressively. It will not happen overnight. But what we are doing is we are keeping our teams prepared. About 50% of our staff has already been vaccinated with one dose of vaccine. Almost all our doctors have been vaccinated except for certain specific conditions where doctors have not been vaccinated. So what we'll try and do is that over the next 1 month's time, as we have time, we'll ensure every member of our team is also vaccinated. So in addition to the safety protocols that we did last year, we'll also ensure that all our employees who are meeting customers are vaccinated, so they themselves do not have a risk
at the same time, the consumer also has a more safer environment to work on. So that's something that we will try and do. Our experience says, Ishit, is that as the market opens up, there is a lot of pent-up demand for our kind of services. So if you look at, last few years' performance and if you look at the last quarter's performance, it actually shows that there are high double-digit growth that we have seen in areas like laser hair removal, acne, and to some extent, anti-aging. So there is some pent-up demand which keeps opening up as the market opens up. And customers are willing to spend a higher ASP, ATV, in comparison to what it was before, because people are very careful of their choices now, and instead of going for a salon for certain services, they would prefer to come to a place like Kaya because the services are long-lasting and at the same time they are more safe for the customer. So we have seen those benefits in the third and the fourth quarter, and we do believe that will happen as and when the lockdown keeps opening. So we don't expect the lockdown to go much beyond middle June or end June. It will open up city by city, and again, all this is just hypothesis at the moment. But I'm saying that, cities like Bombay, already you can see a climb down that is happening. So there is a chance that these cities will open faster. But I think we are more prepared mentally to open up clinics today than what we were 1 year ago.
Absolutely. And Vikas, can you just share your thoughts on how Middle East is shaping up right now?
Yes. Yeah. So we had a temporary setback in quarter four where four clinics were shut down because of the COVID surge in Northern Emirates of UAE. But we've come out of it. March 15th is when they reopened and we had a good March. So now there is no clinic shutdown. There are some intermittent restrictions happening. For example, Oman, there is a curfew at night, which impacts us a little. But more importantly, UAE is opening up even more. So today they announced opening up of hotels at 100% capacity. All bars have opened up. They're also allowing meetings with larger groups. So just today they've announced that. Even Saudi Arabia is announcing travel, international travel within the GCC very soon. So things are looking better in that respect. We don't see another lockdown coming soon. We were all scared that the Indian strain might come here. But then since 25th, the Indian flights have been stopped, which means that if it had to or it had to impact UAE, it would have. Hopefully it will not. So things are looking better on the COVID front. So I don't see a possibility of a major disruption in the near future. And the worst happened in quarter four, the 2 months of lockdown of four clinics we've come out of, so things are only going to get better from now.
Okay, when we talk about Middle East, basically, the four clinics you said they were not operational for how long because of this COVID?
Almost 56 days. They were shut down. So they shut down around January 20th. And they opened around March 15th. And in the process, even plastic surgery business was shut down by Dubai in the same period. That also reopened in March.
Okay. Great. So, I'll come back in the queue for more questions then.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from PCITL. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand that what have you done to reduce our fixed cost expense base, like maybe renegotiation of rentals. So we can see in your cash flow statement that the lease rentals have declined year on year. So are these temporary or are these expected to hold on? Like lease expenses were around 50.5 crore in FY20, which reduced to around 35 crore this year. So is it expected to stay at this level?
Yeah. So we have looked at all items of cost fairly strongly over the last 1 year because of the COVID scenario. It actually helped us in our cause of looking at each one of our fixed cost lines very strongly. This includes people cost. This includes clinic fixed overheads. At the same time, rental being one of the largest costs as far as clinics are concerned. Part of the benefit we got because clinics were shut down for some time and continued to remain partly open for the first and the second quarter. First quarter largely was shut down last year. So we did manage very, very strong negotiations on clinic rent last year. While the other thing that we did over the last one and a half years was also to rationalize our underperforming clinics where the cost of operating was fairly large. So quite a bit of the rent also got reduced on underproductive clinics that were removed from the equation. So about 23 clinics were reduced. At this stage, we are undertaking a new project with Accenture, where we are looking at, again, all the costs, including rent, on a zero-based budgeting basis. So over the next 4 to 5 months' time, we are setting up a zero-based budgeting project with them, where all lines of fixed expenses will be looked at. And we will try and see ways and means to reduce or optimize this cost for the long term. In addition to that, we'll also look at certain levers like cost of goods sold, promotions, and a few other areas where we could optimize, which can also help us in our revenue upliftment and cost optimization. So that's something that we will continue to. So to your point on future, we will definitely take further looks at our rent levels, at the same time other fixed overheads, and keep working on it over the next 4 to 6 months.
Sir, also wanted to understand that I understand our main competitors in India would be standalone beauty parlors. Is that correct?
Not really. I mean, in our business directly, our competitors are not salons, but individual dermatologists and a few chains which are there in certain specific cities where they compete with us in those cities.
So basically, if the standalone ones, if they must be avoiding GST. So in that case, then how do we basically, since we are in the other sector, so then that becomes a competitive disadvantage for us. So how do we overcome that?
Yeah, I think, one of the things we realized during pandemic is that people have become more conscious about safety choices, and our clinics are far better equipped in terms of safety and security in comparison to individual clinics, even from an infrastructural perspective. Training of employee perspective and safety equipment and gear that we provide to our employees. That's one bit. Second, of course, is the brand Kaya in comparison to going to an individual dermatologist. So there is a brand associated. So there is some level of standardization in service that is there. That becomes another thing. Third is, of course, our therapists and our doctors are given a lot of training by our company, which probably individual dermatologists don't have. So some of the skill sets that our doctors would have may not be available massively through individual clinics. Of course, they are transferable skills, so at some point people can train other people on this. But I would say the brand value, the training that we provide, the safety protocols that we provide become the differentiating factor, which is there. Their price beyond a point will not make a difference. Some experience, some level of safety is also crucial for customers to be aware. And now with pandemic, all these things have become more and more important for customers. So I do believe there will be some consolidation that may also happen, not just amongst individual dermatologists, but also amongst chains, which may consolidate and reduce the number of outlets. And some of those customers may end up traveling to us as a brand.
Okay, so thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. A few questions actually. I am attending your call after a long time, so pardon some of the questions which may be addressed in the previous call.
No problem.
So, sir, if I look at this year, obviously this has been a tough year for businesses like yours. But around 280 crores of or 275 crores of total revenue on a consolidated basis. Of this, how much would be products and how much would be services, sir, at this point of time?
Yeah, so products were contributing to about 30% mix for the business. But last quarter in the clinic, the mix of products have actually come down. So we have seen about the clinic business having about 11 to 12% mix coming out of products, wherein actually on the average for the last 1 year, 1.5 years, it's been 15-16%. So that's one bit. But e-commerce also contributes to about
40%, 50% of our product business. So all in all, right now the mix would be about 25% overall, including e-commerce. But averagely over the last few quarters, we've seen about 28 to 30% mix through e-commerce. So, sorry, 28 to 30% through product sales.
Okay, so this year, out of 275 crores, about 30% or 25 to 30% is product business.
Yeah.
Understood. And I mean, I'm not asking from a near-term perspective, from a, let's say, 3-4 year perspective. How do you view your business overall from a mixed point of view? How do you see this business, both these businesses evolve? I mean, if you can just talk a bit about that.
So can you be a little specific as to what you want?
So what I wanted to understand is today, a majority of our business, 70% of our business is from services, and a portion of that is from Middle East and a portion coming from India. And then we have products which is largely coming from India, if I'm not mistaken. What I wanted to understand is, let's say 3-4 years out, how do you see this revenue mix shaping up? I mean, what is the broad thinking that we are working with?
Yeah.
Do you think the revenue mix will be the same, or will it tilt towards products?
So there are a couple of things. I think the growth opportunity in product is definitely much higher, and products can reach out to a lot more consumers pan India. So the mix progressively from a 20% to a 30% to up to a 40-45% mix in products is possible. So we are continuously trying to increase and push our envelope as far as product is concerned. That may not just come out of expansion of product in the current clinic business, but also looking at all the digital channels that are possible to do products. And one of the key initiatives there would be collaboration with a lot of partners who would want to sell products through the digital channel from Kaya. And second is our own D2C website that we are trying to focus on the digital front. So obviously the potential for the business to grow and to contribute 35-40% on product is definitely there, and that would be our near-term focus, and we will be working towards that objective. So I was telling you that the last quarter was close to about 28-30%, but I think the immediate quarter that went by was about 22%. Saurabh, am I correct?
Yeah, Rajan, standalone is on financial year, whole financial year 22%.
22%, that was only because some of the impact of clinic clients' walk-ins were much lower in the last couple of quarters in comparison to non-COVID period. But in a steady state business, we are able to reach closer to 30%, including clinics, including GTMT business and e-commerce. So that's the business that has an opportunity to reach up to 40%, according to us.
Understand.
And digital channels would be a very strong growth area, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, roughly if I take this year on a consolidated basis, what you said is about 25%. So roughly 65-70 crores of our business from products.
So, Raji, I'll rectify.
You're talking about India and...
Console perspective is 14 because the Middle East contribution is around 10%, while India is around 22%. That's why it becomes 14%.
Yeah. So just a follow up on your line of thing is the Middle East business will continue to be a strong services oriented business because it's a very premium premium services business. While saying so, we are trying to push product there as well, but more on the premium side. And not necessarily at the price points that we are selling Kaya in India. So there the mix of products is currently closer to 10%. But in India, the opportunity of product mix growing is much higher.
Understood. So out of this, let's say from a standalone basis, let's just talk about that. I mean, roughly 25-30 crore that we sell purely from from the India part. How much would be walk-in and how much would be from the other trade channels? I mean, when I say walk-in, I mean from the clinic.
Yeah, from the clinics, roughly it was 50% of the business was coming from clinic and 50% was coming from e-commerce and GTMT channels.
Got it. Okay, understood. And sir, in your product business, what is the? I mean, what are the, I mean, how many SKUs do you have? Any thought process in terms of broadening the product base?
So the SKU mix is more than 80 different SKUs that we have across essential products. We have skincare products, and we have some hair care products as an overall mix, which is there. The expansion in the coming year, which is the immediate coming year, is going to be towards dermatologically efficacious products. So we are going to go back into strong actives. I would say premium Kaya products. When I say premium, it's sub 1000 or 1200, that kind of price point. We are going to be looking at a doctor-led or dermat-led products that we are creating. And certain areas or certain concerns like pigmentation, certain concerns like anti-aging, these would be our big focuses. Acne, these are three areas where the focus will be on developing newer and newer products. So we will definitely be looking at high active dermat-led segments for product development for the coming year. And there are some good launches in the annual in this area.
So, sir, but these are all OTC products, or do you need a prescription to buy?
You don't need a prescription. These are cosmeceutical products.
So, sir, in terms of for your products, typically, who do you compete with? And my sense, given the price point that you mentioned, it will be quite premium kind of products. So, given that, how do you see the market for us in terms of opportunity? Do you see market? Do you see the price points coming down and getting into a bigger market?
Your point on competition at the lower end is brands like the Neutrogena's and Nivea's and stuff like that. Nivea is sometimes much lower, but I'm saying brands like Neutrogena. Going on the higher side, it will be brands like the Clinique type of brands, which are efficacious international brands, but they are slightly above the price of Kaya. Kaya is somewhere playing in the 700 to 900 type price point, largely. We have dabbled ourselves with very low price point and trying to be like an FMCG brand, but our core product lines, our largest selling SKUs are sitting in the 1,000, 1,200, in some cases even 1,700, 1,800 rupee price point. So if you ask me a question on whether it's a very high volume game, it's not a very high volume game. Is it an efficacy-led consumer who understands dermatology, who understands skincare, which today's day a lot of young consumers understand these segments much better because of the spread of information through the internet. There are people who are understanding skincare much better. And we will be somewhere in the middle price points, not too premium, not too mass. We will definitely not try to compete with the FMCGs in this kind of a price match. We won't be in that segment.
Okay. And just one more question on the product side, then I have a few questions on the services side. On the product side, you mentioned that you are launching your own digital strategy and you're having the digital officer. So have we hired the person have you joined, or is he or she joined?
He joined us just last week.
Okay. Can you broadly share a bit more about the person and the profile briefly?
Can I send this information to you separately? Saurabh, we can take this offline.
Sure. You can connect us on investor relations.
Sure. Just a couple of questions on the services side. I think when previously I was following your company, there was some unit level issues in terms of economics, and obviously then a couple of years there was very bad period for a consumer discretionary kind of market. So just wanted to understand if you could separate out both Middle East and India in terms of the next couple of years, how do you see that business given the backdrop of the pandemic and overall improvement that you've done in the last 3-4 years in that business?
Yeah, I think First and foremost, I think from a unit economics perspective, our growth on a lot of fixed cost areas, we have really worked very strongly on over the last couple of years, both in India and in Middle East. But we continue to do that work. In fact, pandemic to that extent kind of acted like a catalyst for us to relook at all our costs. We managed to rationalize quite a bit of our fixed costs, especially in India in the last financial year. Secondly, we are also continuing that effort, as I mentioned, through a project that we are working with Accenture right now in the form of a ZBX project, which is basically looking at the organization from scratch and all our fixed overheads at from scratch. And we'll be creating something for the long term, like a blueprint on which we'll actually work, in terms of the cost line, for the business. As far as pandemic is concerned, I do believe the fact that it is a very positive thing in some way, because what has happened is that the awareness for safety has actually increased in the country, and people do believe both in India and in Middle East that Kaya offers much superlative safety standards than any of the normal local dermatologists or local clinics or hospitals, and reasons of which I think it's safer to come to Kaya. And if I were to look at complementary business, not complementary in some sense, competitive businesses like salon businesses, people would see that Kaya services are efficacious, long-term. They cost you a little bit more, but they are more effective, longer-lasting, slightly at the higher price, but quite safe in comparison to doing services in the pharmacy. So if you look at it, last quarter, we saw almost a 40% plus growth in laser hair removal. That's a service that competes with waxing in parlors. And customer does believe that it's safer to do laser hair removal than do waxing in parlors for the rest of their lives. So I think to that extent, I think safety of Kaya will definitely play a positive part in both geographies.
Understood. And how do you view growth, let's say, in the next 2-3 years for both these businesses in India and Middle East?
I honestly won't be able to give you complete guidance on the growth percentages for future. I think we should focus on certain initiatives, as we mentioned. In the case of Middle East, we are going to be focusing on newer and newer services, like we mentioned, body contouring, plastic surgery, and hair care. In India, we'll be focusing a lot more on digital initiatives to grow the business. I think these are the pillars, I would say, in terms of both markets to grow the business. I think that's what. Any further questions?
No, I think this is fine, sir. I will reach out if I have more questions. Thank you so much.
Sure.
All the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Tendulkar from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot, sir.
Hi.
Sir, contrary to what is in fad, I don't think this is a digital problem. This is but a very core marketing problem. And unless we address a marketing problem, how to approach the market, how to approach the customer, how to increase the loyalty, this problem is not going to get solved just because of digital, because digital is just amplifying whatever you are.
Yeah.
So if your offering is confused, then it is going to be confused. So not many. So your what are your thoughts on how to actually approach a customer? Because what has happened is that I understand that your revenue base is low, but now in a digital age, there is hardly any barrier like those used to be existing in, say, 10 years back, where a marketing campaign needed to be spent on with billions of dollars. But now there are many ways to market the product. That is one. Second is, are you actually tracking anything like how many customers repeat? What are the customer wow points for our services? What are the customers who defect? And also third is point is that, are we going to be a service company or product company? Because if we are going to be a service company, we can as well use the world-class products and increase the footfall. Or if you are a product company, then we might as well have a, less emphasis on the location, but more emphasis on marketing and other things. So these are very basic and fundamental problems. And before addressing those, I still don't think that any money spent on digital is going to leverage it as it should be. So it's a marketing problem. So can you just elaborate your thoughts on
I'll just only take it as an advice from your side I'm just taking all the points that you're saying as your point of view and as your advice, and I'm taking it on board. In my mind, I'm not confused as a brand. And we work on a segment in a market which is an evolving market in this space. India is not a very, very mature market like some of the Western markets. For example, in the case of Middle East itself, we operate in a market which is way more mature than that of India. And India will get there. And in the last few years, what you said very rightly, that the barrier to understand anything has reduced because anybody can learn anything, right? And in that sense, actually, digital helps us in the cause of communicating our services and products much better. It also gives us better access to consumers than what it was in the past. And again, as I'm saying, between unorganized segment in this market and organized segment, I do believe we have a very credible service. Certain points that you asked, like do we track customers and all that stuff, put together, we have a tremendous amount of information about our customers for the last 17 years. We do run a loyalty program where sequentially, month on month, consumer-wise data is available, and we do leverage that to get across to our customers. So that, in that sense, we do look at all this data. Just to give you an example, that even when we shut down clinics in the last financial year, about 20 odd clinics, we were able to garner almost 30-35% of the value of transactions in the other clinic into the new clinic only through data analysis and reaching out to our loyalty program customers, which are there. Loyalty program contributes to about 82% of our total mix. So we do reasonable analysis on these customers, which are there. There are metrics like NPS, which we actually utilize in the clinic. So after every service, we know the level of quality of service that we are actually offering to the customer and the feedback from customer thereof. So to that extent, also things are done. So any whatever good retailers in the country do today, I think we do. Even in the wellness and beauty space, the amount of technology and data that is available in the market, I think we are ahead of the curve as far as that is concerned. Yes, is the scope and size of the market much larger? Can we grow much bigger? Can we market much better? Your feedback on could we be a better marketing company? All that stuff is taken. So I would take it as advice more than anything else.
Right. Just a question. Have we benchmarked ourselves against, say, L'Oreal, Salons, or anybody else like me for that matter? And how do our operating metrics stand?
Yeah, we have compared ourselves with Enrich. We have compared ourselves with L'Oreal and stuff like that. Put here. Business models are a little different. Cost structure-wise and stuff like that, there are certain differences basically because ours is an expert service versus theirs is that. And in some cases, they work with a company-owned model and a franchise model. I have some comparison, maybe at offline, maybe at some point we could do some comparisons and give it to you.
Because
may not be a direct competitor to us. In terms of comparison.
Yeah, because whatever countries I have been to, like Japan and Western countries, these services have immense potential, and I'm sure that whatever Indian upper middle class is coming up, these services have a huge tailwind. So we should not have any problem in this.
No, your point is right. You're talking about highly evolved countries like Japan and to some extent South Korea. They're extremely evolved. At some point, these kind of services may have a penetration of 40-50% of the targeted population. In India, it will be low single-digit penetration at this moment. And there again, organized, unorganized, all kinds of things are there in India. And price points are always there. Indian consumers are a lot more value-conscious in comparison to Western customers. The closest that we see of more organized competition and players is actually the Middle East, where I think we do a fairly credible job of what we do in terms of quality. Our quality is definitely equal or better than most other clinic chains that are there in the market. Yes, India will get there, and we are prepared for it.
Perfect. That's the last question for me. Have you thought about hub and spoke model where you have franchises where low capital investment and low specialization is needed?
Yeah.
But those franchises have certain standard which is class apart from the local guys.
Yeah.
And those guys act as a funnel to your core center, which can be anywhere between 1 or 20 kilometers. So something like that, you have.
We have not done a franchise model till now.
Right.
It's a doctor-led business, so it's not so much of an investor solution where you just find investors in various markets and start doing business. You need to also find a very strong doctor to be able to anchor the clinic in these markets. So either it could be a direct collaboration with doctors in smaller cities and towns. These thoughts have crossed our mind and something that we will work on. But at this stage, we don't have a model on franchise.
Right. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. I would like to have a conversation with your team afterwards.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riddhima Chandak from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on our advertising and sales promotion. So in general, our as a percentage of revenue, it is almost 5.5% or 6%. So, but now as we are focusing more on the product sides in India business, so going forward, how much this percentage would be, and which region we are targeting going forward?
Yeah. So as a revenue mix, I think even now the proportion of spend towards products and especially towards e-commerce is roughly 50% of what we spend totally. E-commerce, we are not really spending money too much on external advertising, but we are actually spending on the sites. For example, Amazon Marketing Services or Nykaa has its own assets. We spend on these assets. They're now already 50% of our spends on marketing are actually going towards product marketing. And mostly spend towards channel partners like Amazon, Nykaa, Flipkart, Myntra. That's what we're doing. As far as markets are concerned, our markets are currently the main large cities of India, with Delhi contributing the largest revenue pie, Bombay, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai. But we do very well with smaller cities. So we are present in more than 20 cities right now. So that's which is there. Marketing wise, not necessarily every city is going to get the same amount of spends because most of our businesses are concentrated on big cities. And I think that's how we are looking at. But there's no preference as such in terms of geographies to say that we'll be focusing on one geography over the other.
Okay. Okay. So, so means in terms of percentage of revenue, it would remain same 5-6% overall going forward.
Yeah.
Okay. And another question is on the services part. So in the services, as majority of the traction coming from, as you spoken, like laser hair removal, acne and anti-aging. So also, you also mentioned that to attract more customers, you may also change the prices on the acne portfolio. So as of now, what is our average ticket value in FY21 versus FY20, and going forward, how could pan out?
Yeah, currently our average transaction value is anywhere between 10,000 to 12,000 rupees, and the last quarter was closer to 12,000 rupees. Our average earlier was about 9,000-9,500. So we've seen almost a 30% increase in terms of price points in the last quarter because people have been coming a limited number of times and spending a lot more now in comparison to pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, the average value was closer to 9,000-9,500 rupees in terms of that. But acne as a complete solution can be as low as 4,000 to 5,000 rupees going all the way up to 25,000-30,000 rupees. We used to sell a lot of packages in the 50,000-60,000 rupees also in acne because of acne scars that are there. But we will be focusing a lot more on entry-level consumers with excessive acne problems, younger customers who have excessive acne problems, and give them more entry-level price point services. If they want to really go with high-end acne scar treatment and stuff like that, we will definitely offer those services. But our promotions would be more towards the lower price points.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. The group is closely monitoring the developments and possible effects that may result from the current pandemic on its financial condition, liquidity and operation, and is actively working to minimize the impact of this unprecedented situation. Take care and be safe. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.